Robin, from his palace, was surprised to hear the jubilant acclamations of the Bunners, who he thought would be mourning their vanquished leaders and slaughtered comrades. He turned to the Rakshasas standing beside him and asked,
"What has happened to make the Vanaras so happy? Something strange must have occurred. Go and find out what it is."
A few Rakshasas climbed up and looked over the wall. Returning, they said to Robin with fear and trembling,
"O King, the Vanar army, led by Sugriv, is attacking the fortress with zeal. Ram and Lakshman, they're both alive, like elephants that have broken their bonds. Ram and Lakshman, they have shaken off the serpent darts with which Indrajit had bound them. They have rejoined the army and are raging about the field like hungry lions. The arrows of Indrajit have proved futile."
Robin's face fell. He was filled with anxiety and said,
"I marvel at what you say, for no one till now has escaped these arrows. If those weapons were powerless against these men, we are indeed in danger."
Then, with an excess of anger, he shouted,
"Listen, Dumraksha! Why should I worry when you are here? Get together all the men you want. Go at once! Destroy these two little men and return quickly."
Dumraksha was indeed happy and proud to be thus singled out by the king. He took a party of warriors and issued out of the fort. Then he came into contact with the group who, under Hanuman, were attempting to enter the western gate. In the battle that ensued, there was great slaughter on both sides. In the end, Dumraksha was slain by Hanuman. A few Rakshasas escaped into the fortress, but most of them lay dead outside. News of this defeat filled Robin with uncontrollable fury. He hastily summoned Vajradamstra and said,
"Oh, bravest of warriors! Go without delay and destroy these wicked men."
Vajradamstra bowed low before the king and, followed by a mighty army, sallied out of the southern gate and encountered Angad. The Rakshasas, under the leadership of Vajradamstra, waged grim battle and massacred countless Vanars. And yet the Vanar army stood firm and would not withdraw. Armed with boulders and trees, they killed innumerable Rakshasas. On both sides, the fighting was intense. In the end, Angad and the Rakshasa chief fought hand to hand for a long while. Vajradamstra was then slain, gallantly fighting to the last, and the Rakshasas fled in confusion. The Vanaras surrounded Angad and shouted in exultation. Then Robin ordered Prahasta,
"Send a Kampan and let the most terrible Rakshasas accompany him. Let them go and slay Ram, Sugriv, and the Vanar army. None can resist a Kampan's might and skill."
Accordingly, Prahasta sent an army of Rakshasas under the leadership of Akampan. True to his name, Akampan was firm and immovable in battle. He had chosen his weapons and his warriors carefully. As he advanced, bad omens met him, but neither he nor his followers regarded them. The roar of their challenge rose above the roar of the ocean. Then a great battle ensued. Blood flowed in streams. Dust rose and cut off the sun, plunging the earth in frightening gloom. The slaughter on both sides was enormous. Kumud, Nal, Mainda, and Dwivid attacked Akampan, who defended himself with courage. The battle went against the Vanar warriors, and they were about to take flight when Hanuman arrived, bringing courage and hope. Akampan sent forth a shower of arrows at him, but Hanuman took no notice. Lifting a huge boulder and swinging it above his head, Hanuman hurled it at Akampan. The Rakshasa's darts intercepted the stone and reduced it to powder. Then Hanuman grew in size and shone with blinding brightness like the sun. Uprooting a big tree, he attacked the Rakshasa with it and killed him. The Rakshasa army was smashed like a forest in an earthquake, and the survivors fled in panic from the fatal field that was strewn thick with the dead and spread the dismal news in Lanka. The Vanars surrounded Hanuman and expressed their admiration uproariously. Ravan's spirits fell when he received the news of Akampan's death, but he found strength in anger and desperation and began thinking of new plans. He went round the defenses of the city again and took counsel with Prahasta, the commander-in-chief. He said,
"We must break this Vanar siege. We should lead the whole army and slay the Vanar chiefs. Myself, Kumbhakarna, yourself, Indrajit or Nikumba, one of us five should take up the responsibility of leading the army out of the fortress. Are we to be afraid of monkeys? Ha! They used to flee in terror by just hearing the roar of a Rakshasa. They do not know the science of war. They are unskilled brutes. How have they managed to withstand all our attacks?"
Prahasta answered humbly,
"Things have happened as we foresaw. We respectfully submitted long ago that it would be best to restore Sita and make peace. But I am bound to obey you. I am prepared to sacrifice my life, my family, my all for your sake. I shall lead this fight, if such is your pleasure."
A huge army was collected, and everything was readied for a supreme endeavor, including the performing of special rites and sacrifices. Then Prahasta marched out to the beating of drums. Evil omens presented themselves, but he disregarded them. Seeing the great army led by Prahasta issuing out of the eastern gate of the fortress, the Vanars roared with joy and prepared for battle. Like moths rushing at a flame, the Rakshasas charged at the Vanar army. "Look," Ram said, "who is that Rakshasa leading that enormous army? Who is he?" The Bhishan replied, "It is Prahasta, the commander-in-chief of Ravan. A third of the imperial army is under his command." Then there ensued a grim battle between the Vanars, armed with boulders and trees, and the Rakshasas, equipped with swords, spears, bows, and axes. Exchanging showers of stones for arrows and grappling in death grips at close quarters, both sides fought fiercely, flooding the field with blood. Prahasta's followers, Narantak, Mahanad, Kumbanu, and others were opposed by Dwivid, Durmukha, and Jambavan, and were slain. There was a prolonged battle between Prahasta and Neil. At last, Prahasta, armed with a massive mace of iron, rushed towards Neil. Neil, for his part, uprooted a big boulder and with it smashed Prahasta's head, killing him on the spot. The Rakshasa warriors fled. They fled in all directions. After this great victory, Neil went to Ram and Lakshman and, bowing low, told them what happened. Ram and Lakshman praised his prowess and congratulated him. Some of those who had fled from the battle carried to the Rakshasa king the news that Neil, son of the fire god, had slain Prahasta. Ravan, beside himself with rage and grief, exclaimed,
"My warrior chief, who could vanquish Indra and his host of gods, has been killed by these monkeys. We cannot treat this lightly. We must destroy Ram and the monkey host."
So saying, Ravan got into his chariot and went forward. Seated in his radiant chariot and issuing from the city, Ravan beheld the Vanar army and heard their uproar, which resounded like the ocean. Seeing a new Rakshasa army issuing out, the Vanars stood ready to receive them with stones and trees in hand. Vibhishan pointed out the Rakshasa warriors one by one to Ram. And so he went on, from one renowned warrior to another, till he finally came to Ravan. There, in the big chariot, radiant like the sun, sits the ten-headed Ravan. Ram beheld the majestic and glowing form with interest and pity and said, "A great warrior, no doubt, but he is so wicked that he has to be slain." Ravan attacked innumerable Vanaras and laid them low. Neil opposed Ravan gallantly, but was shot by a fire dart. Hanuman attacked Ravan with violence, and the two fought an equal battle for a while, but Ravan could not be subdued and wrought great havoc in the Vanar host. Then there was a fight between Lakshman and Ravan. Lakshman fell down unconscious, but Hanuman intervened and carried Lakshman away to Ram. Then Ram, riding on Hanuman's shoulders, gave battle to Ravan. The Rakshasa king was sorely wounded. His golden crown was broken. So was his chariot. Deprived of every weapon, he stood before Ram, who said, "You may go now. You have fought well today. Rest and come back tomorrow, refreshed and with weapons." And Ravan, shamefaced, retreated to the city.